If the devil was going to take me out, he should have took me out in the night. If he was going to succeed in depressing me to the point of no return, he should have did it in the night. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy. See, that bright and morning star, once you meet him, amen, the enemy lose some of his grip. Can you say amen? Once you get to that bright and morning star, joy comes in the morning. If you had known me before I knew him, you would understand why I raised my hand to him. If you had known me before I knew him, you would understand why I praise him. If you had known me before I met Jesus, you would have no problem with me saying, woo! Because, man, I'm excited about where he brought me from. A lot of churches say, come as you are, and I appreciate that. But he loved me so much, he didn't leave me the way I was. Amen. Jesus loves you just like you are. Jesus loved me in spite of the way I was. And he saved me anyway. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm glad I'm sitting beside of you. And you know what I'm going to say? Now look at the other person on the other side that you're not glad you're sitting beside and say, that's why I told them. Man, are you excited to be in God's house today? He is so good. Man, we got some stuff going on today. I'm going to preach really fast. We're going to pray for some folks, and man, we're going to have a baby dedication. Amen. How many people are excited about that? God is good. God is good. By way of review, for those that weren't here for the last 10 years, John 4:7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. To buy meat. So I'll let you know, Jesus wasn't a vegetarian. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee, living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Let me back up. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? That's a dumb question. Amen. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Man, I could preach right here, but I got to be careful. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. Don't stop at Jacob. Ask him, is he greater than his father Abraham? Amen. Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. If you don't know this story, it's getting interesting. He said, go call your husband. She says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou saidest thou truly. You said that right. You don't have a husband, you've had five, and you're shacking up now. That's my version. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall not in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh as now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went on her way into the city and saith to the men. That's interesting. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That they went out into the city and came to him. And the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let's roll on down. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all ever I did. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. You can finally be seated. That's more reading than some of y'all will get all month. Put it on you now. Progressive revelation for those by way of review, because there's something that really stuck out in these verses to me this week, and I want to share it with you. But I want to talk to you about progressive revelation. This woman comes to the well, she meets Jesus, and she understands that he is a Jew. The first thing that is revealed to her by looking at him, she could tell that he was a Jew. The conversation takes place, and he says, give me something to drink. And she says, he said, if you knew who it was that was asking you to drink. She said, what are you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan, because we don't have any dealings with each other. And what's amazing about the Samaritans were they were kind of caught in the middle. They were biracial. And because they were caught in the middle of one side and the other side, neither side had anything to do with them. So the Jews, Gentiles, nobody really messed around with them. They were just kind of out there by themselves. They were just kind of caught out there by themselves. And she's like, what are you doing talking to me? And Jesus makes this statement, if you knew who I was, you would ask of me. Man, that's powerful. Because if I got this figured out right, I think this is the first time that Jesus makes the I am statement. I am he. It's the first time that he does that. He begins to reveal himself more than just a Jewish carpenter. Because what we do with a lot of people, and let's be honest, when we meet people, we look at them and we prejudge everybody. Amen? Whether you want to or not, we prejudge everybody. To prove it to you, have you ever seen somebody you didn't know them, but as soon as you seen them, you said, I don't think I like them. And you've never even talked to them. Now, a lot of y'all go holy in church. You're like, no, I've never done that before in my life, preacher. I always give everybody a fair shake. I've looked at people and went, I don't think I'm going to like that guy. Just by looking at him. And I don't want to go into details, but if a certain person has a certain thing, you just look at him and you go, And there's certain people you look at and you go, man, I just don't know. I don't know. And then you talk to them and you get to know them a little bit and you say, you know what? You're all right. You're all right. When I was in high school, I went to work at Kmart and I went to a job interview and the lady told me like a year later after I worked there for about a year and she said, I almost made a mistake with you. And I said, what was the deal? And she said, well, I don't know. I guess nobody ever told you, but when you go to an interview, you shouldn't wear a ball cap. I said, well, I was raised in the big city of Fargo, and I didn't know that. And I went in there with I may have had it on backwards. I don't know. But I went in there, and she said, I almost made a mistake. Because you had a hat on, I almost didn't hire you. And I said, well, really? And she said, I'm so glad I did. I said, I'm sure you are. And so it's funny because we look at certain things and she says, I know you're a Jew. He knew she was a Samaritan. But then he begins to reveal a little bit more about himself. And this is the problem with the world. What the world sees, see, there are people, and I know I'm rambling a little bit, but I got to point to this. There are people that sit at home and watch TV, and that's the only place they get their Christianity. So they have this idea of what the church and what religion and what Jesus is all about. And there's that one channel you got to be really careful, because you get on there and there's some wild things that go on there. And there's a lot of things that masquerade as Christianity that isn't Christianity. So people get this preconceived idea. Or they went to a church when they were a kid and that church was boring. Can anybody say amen? Three people were going to the boring church. The rest of y'all, let me tell you about it. It was tough. Because you get this idea of what relationship with Jesus is. And when you get this idea, there are people that I invite to church and I know what they think church is, because they got this preconceived idea. Jesus begins to reveal himself to her because the conversation kept continuing. The problem is, what we think Jesus is, we should still be learning and becoming more progressive in our revelation of Jesus. Let me say it like this. The more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him, the more I love him. I can't stop with the revelation of what I think he is, but I must know him. Paul, 14 years into his ministry, made this statement, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. What I'm telling you is this: there are deeper depths in revelation of who Jesus is. And maybe you didn't get it right in the little country church, but you got an opportunity right now to walk with him and talk with him and let him reveal himself to you. So what are you waiting for? What are we waiting on? He's wanting to talk with us. He's wanting to reveal himself, not just a Jewish carpenter, but he begins to say, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. She says, I perceive that you're a prophet. This is where a lot of religions stop. They believe Jesus was a prophet. This is where they end it all. Well, he was a prophet. He came, he served his time, and now he's done. Because Jesus began to tell her things that nobody else could tell. It used to be a song. It was I think it was a Christian song. I think it was a gospel, and it was kind of country and kind of Christian, maybe sin kicking country. That's what it was. Somebody tapped my telephone line. Somebody's reading my mail. Somebody's telling stories I know I didn't tell. And because things were going on and revelation was coming about, God was telling on them. You know what? If the Spirit of God began to move in a way that we came to church and we got nervous about our hidden sin, everybody, no, don't amen that. That'd be a tough time. We want the glory of God, but do we want the fact that when you lie to the Holy Ghost, you die? That's in your Bible. Does that make you a little nervous? Now, we'll just stick around in this level. Let's not go too much deeper. But he begins to reveal something more. And as the conversation goes on down, he reveals to her, I'm him. So it goes from Jew to prophet to Messiah. We can't stop with just him being a Jew. We can't stop with him just being a prophet. We've got to get to the place where we believe he is who he said he is. He's not just a religious object to ease your conscience. No, he's got to go much deeper than that. He can't just be something that you do on Sunday and you don't carry around any other time. He can't be something that you just visit once in a morning when you read your daily verse. He's got to be more than that. He's got to be more than the Jew. He's got to be more than the prophet. He's got to get to the place where he is Messiah.
and you say, it's not about the water pot anymore. Notice she left her water pot, the very thing she came there for. She left because she found the Messiah. Amen. What'd you come to church for? What brought you to church the first time? Some people come to church looking for a good woman. They've ran around. They've went to bars their whole life. And then it comes time for them to settle down. And their mom tells them, go down to church and find you a good woman. Y'all laughing because you know it's true. Maybe some of y'all are guilty. People come to church for some. Hey, maybe you got tricked into coming here today. Maybe your friend tricked you. But once she had an experience with Jesus, the very thing that she came for, she left it behind. What I'm telling you is this, we've got to have an encounter with Jesus like that, to where the things that mattered before don't matter anymore, because Jesus doesn't come in just as part of your life, and he doesn't come in as co-pilot, and he doesn't come in as addition. He comes in as Messiah, and when he comes in as Messiah, he sets up as Lord. This is a kingdom that we are dealing with here, and he just doesn't want to be your Savior and your friend. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be Lord of your life in every avenue. More important than your children. More important than your spouse. More important than your family. More important than your job. He wants to be Lord. But watch this. Now, that's review. Watch this. This is awesome. Because this woman did not have the utmost reputation in the community. Can you say amen? It's not my fault between my five husbands, they've had 10 wives. It's not my fault. She comes back and she goes to the men of the city and tells them a testimony. She gives a testimony. Not from in that time, not a real credible witness, but she's given a testimony. And I don't know if you caught the wording there, but it said the people of Samaria believed on him because of her testimony. How convincing did she have to be to overcome her past, to overcome what she had done, to overcome where she was living and what was going on right there in the eyes of those people? What, how convincing did she have to be for them to say, I believe he is who she says he is. I'm here to preach to you today. It's time for the church to get passionate about who Jesus is so that the world will believe our testimony. You love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus. Sure do. But I cuss a little. I've seen shirts that say that. I love Jesus, but I cuss too. And you know what? Let me kind of deal with this right now. Let me deal with this. They're just words, preacher. They're just words. They're just words. So words don't matter? Do words matter? Because the Bible says life and death is not in your pocket. It's not in your wallet. Life and death is, it's in our tongue. So let me tell you this, words do matter. What, blessing and cursing can't come out of the same fountain. Well, preacher, they're just words. They're just words. It's what's behind those words. And words matter. So I can speak life. And when I speak life, it's got to be convincing. Okay, I'll give you an example. Dustin, we used to go out to the prison and preach all the time. Years I went out there, preached those prisoners. And you know what the chaplain told us all the time? Maybe you'll remember this, Dan. Did you go out there too? He would say, be real. You better be real. And this was his line. You can't con a con. You can't con a con, man. They're going to pick up on it. If you're not real, they're going to pick up on it. And let me ask you this. Have you ever picked up on somebody that wasn't real? Anybody gave a testimony that their life didn't match? And you know what happens? They lose credibility because it's easy to talk it. It's different to live it. A sermon that is preached is way easier preached than it is lived. So she comes back with this testimony because she had an encounter. She had an encounter that changed her life. These stories amaze me. They're all throughout Scripture. These people get up that morning and they're not expecting anything great to happen. But something great happens. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting out, but yeah, there he is. Been out there begging, been out there struggling. But this day Jesus came by and he yells out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jennifer, you know what happened to him? He got healed because he had an encounter with Jesus that day. I don't read anywhere else in Scripture where they met back up again. The woman with the issue of blood tried everything year after year after year after year. She tried. But then there came a day that Jesus came by. She presses through the crowd. She touches the hem of his garment. And that encounter with Jesus changed her life forever. I don't read in Scripture anywhere else where they met back up again. There was a man that had a legion of demons. Jesus gets off the boat and he recognizes who he is. The very spirits that controlled this man drove him down to worship Jesus. Oh, don't torment us before our time. That one encounter with Jesus delivered him from thousands. Oh, I'm talking about a thousand spirits. That one encounter. As a matter of fact, Jesus got on the boat, left him and said, "Stay here." One encounter. One encounter. We are still preaching about that encounter. We're still talking about that encounter. People get hope because the woman with the issue of blood, as we call her, my mistake. Because you know what we do? We call people by their past conditions. We label people by their condition, not who they are. Where's old bum? There's old pillhead. There's old pothead. Back to y'all looking at people. Some of us drive by those people at Walmart. You don't just drive by them. You get mad at them. Well, let me get in your car with you now. I'll leave your living room alone. I'll get in your car with you. Don't even stop. They got a sign out there. They're not even supposed to be out there. It shouldn't even be out there. It's just stupid. We look at people and we label them by their condition. We still call the woman that had the issue of blood the woman with the issue of blood, but she got rid of the issue of blood. So she's actually the daughter that got healed of the issue of blood through one encounter with Jesus. We call him blind Bartimaeus, but he wasn't blind Bartimaeus. He used to be blind Bartimaeus, but once he had an encounter with Jesus, he became seeing Bartimaeus. So we need to call him sightful Bartimaeus instead of blind Bartimaeus because he's not blind anymore. And the woman with the issue of blood, we should call her the woman that had and doesn't have. She's the daughter of the king. Do you see what I'm talking about? The man that was sick of the palsy was no longer the man sick of the palsy, but he became the son of God. Can I tell you something? We got to stop labeling people by their condition and label them for who they are. One encounter. One encounter changed this woman to the degree that her testimony changed people in the city. How are you doing with your testimony? To the people that are faithful here, you know what I'm getting ready to say. I used to go to church and we sang, "I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing," anybody know that song? "My best to make it." I gauged myself very early in life. My best was not good enough to make it. I'm coming up on the rough side. It's like the lady stood up or the guy stood up in church and he started talking about all of his problems. Everything was going wrong. Nothing was working out. Came time for the altar call. There was a sinner behind him that he turned around and said, would you like to go pray? And he said, no, I just heard your testimony. I'm having a hard enough time serving the devil. What about your testimony? When your testimony isn't right, it may be because you haven't had an encounter.
I know it feels like Wednesday night, but it's okay. Sorry, Sunday people. I know you got to work on Wednesday. We usually beat them up on Wednesday. We're beating you up today.
What about your testimony? What are you saying about the Messiah? What are you testifying about that you have seen? How convincing are you that this Jesus that you have met, you have, I'm not talking about being lackadaisical. I'm not talking about being complacent. I'm talking about having an encounter with him. But here's the issue. We had an encounter, but it was so long ago that we've lost our fervor.
I think that's why all this is tied into this scripture. And this is what I just noticed.
He said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God is spirit.
Do you know where I'm going with this? That's why I'm the preacher.
Because here's the issue. The struggle is they had one encounter and then Jesus moved on. One encounter. She had one encounter and turned a city upside down. But now, God is spirit. He's not confined to just that fleshly body. So what are you saying? I'm saying that you have the opportunity to not just have one encounter, but you have the opportunity to have encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter because God is spirit. And because God is spirit, every day I get up, I can have an encounter with him that pushes me to the place where I got to tell somebody he's more than a Jew, he's more than a prophet, he's Messiah, he is the King, he is the Savior, he is the one, he is the only way, he's the truth, he's the life. How do you know? I had an encounter. How important is your encounter? You know what amazes me? We let other people around us in a service dictate our encounter.
Am I telling it right? Well, I really felt like busting out and giving God praise today. And to you people that judge people that bust out and give God praise, you're the same people that go to a sporting event and act an idiot.
Brash for the devil, bashful for Jesus.
Leave it alone, preacher. Leave it alone. No, your encounter is important. And there's sometimes you come in here with a need and you got to get a hold of Jesus and you're going to let Sister Fluffyhead stop you? What's the other one, Eddie? Brother Highbrow? Looking over at you, going to stop you from having an encounter? Listen, Samaria, the whole city, there's waiting on you to have an encounter so that you forget what you came for and you go back with the truth and you start changing people around you because you didn't let anybody stop your encounter. You didn't let who you were stop it. You didn't let the barrier stop you. Oh, there was barriers, a lot of barriers there. Even the disciples come back. What's he doing talking to a woman? Not only a woman, a Samaritan woman. What's he doing talking to her? A lot of barriers there. A lot of reasons not to get that encounter. But she had an encounter. Now they come back. And the Bible says that they believed, Doug, because of her testimony. They believed. And others came because of her testimony. Still a little skeptical. But they believed after hearing his word. What are you saying? What's the point of this? The point is this. When we don't get into the right place in our relationship with Jesus, we stop talking about him. I have worked with people who wear the Christian tag who never talk about Jesus. Ever. They don't pay me to do that. They don't pay you to talk about the ball game either, but we're talking about it. Same people. Did you see Super Bowl halftime show? They don't pay us to talk about that. And Darren, we were talking about this one time, we were talking about this, and you gave me, I said, man, I'm going to work this guy, man. He says he's a Christian, but he really never brings up Jesus. And you said, does he talk about his family? Yeah. He said, you talk about what you love. Anybody ever talk to you about their grandkids and you don't care? Y'all laughing because it's true. You know, like, I can tell. I tell people about Sophie and they're just like, yeah, it's great. It's great. But that's my grandbaby. You know, you know what I'm talking about? They just ramble on and on. And then you know what she did? She got that little bib. And that, you're like, how convincing do we got to be to get people's attention about Jesus? Man, did anybody have an encounter with Jesus during worship today? If you did, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Did you anybody feel his presence in this place? That spirit that moves. And now I know some people right now are like, man, I wish he'd quit. I wish he'd shut this down. So we'll go get lunch. It's amazing how many people want to hurry up and go sit somewhere else. Ain't it the truth? You know what you want to do? You want to hurry up and get out of here so you can go sit at a restaurant. So you can hurry up and leave the restaurant so you can go sit at the house. And so most of you can get up in the morning and go sit at work. We just drive real fast to go sit at different places. What's your hurry? Man, when I get in his presence, I don't want to leave it sometimes. You ever been in that place where it's just him and you? And man, you get in that place, you're like, I don't want to leave here. But then he makes you leave because he said you'll go in and out and find pasture. So he don't just call you to stay in there. He calls you to take that to somebody else so that the people of the city can hear about him, so that they can enter into a relationship, so they can have encounter. And when they have encounter, this thing begins to multiply and this kingdom begins to expand. Do we understand that we really need encounter? Now listen, if you're grouchy, you need an encounter. If you're grumpy, you need an encounter. I know when I need to pray. Because everybody gets on my nerves. Can I get an amen? I tell Tracy sometimes. I mean, when it's everybody, it can't be everybody. Every time she mentions, you know what? And then she'll say something. And then I'm like, I need to go pray. It's on me. It's on me. When it's everybody, it can't be everybody. It's you. But man, when you get an encounter, it'll change your perspective. It'll change the way you see things. Sightful Bartimaeus. It'll change the way God moves in you. Healed woman with the issue. Why is it like that? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Get in his presence. Get in his presence. Hey, listen, I love this saying. This church is not for everybody, but Jesus is. I know some people that don't like to be yelled at like I yell at people. They like to learn in a lecture format where it's real calm. Listen, make sure it's truth. And if you can worship God to Beethoven, crank him up. Find a way to get in his presence.
He said, when you pray, he said, go in your closet. Go in your closet. We mentioned this. Some of y'all can't get in your closet because you're so blessed. It's so full. You don't even have a place to pray in there. There's clothes in there with tags on them that you just had to have it. You had to have it. Don't tell me if you're guilty. I'm looking around to see. I'm trying to figure out your faces. I can't even get in there because we're so blessed. He's not really saying get in your literal closet. Because if he was, he would know where we live. Most of us have bifolding doors on our closets. So he would say shut the doors, not door. Shut the door. Shut the door. This is metaphorical, okay? This is not literally get in your closet and shut the door. This is get somewhere by yourself and shut everything out. Why? To get in his presence. Why? Because when you have an encounter with him, you're going to become a force for the kingdom. So how many encounters can you have a day? That's totally up to you. But I promise you this, the longer you go without having an encounter with Jesus in spirit form, the more you're going to struggle. I can hear Eye of a Tiger and it makes me want to lose weight. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Dun, dun, dun. I'm like, I'm going to just go run. Yeah, I'm running. I just want to go run. That can, do y'all know what I'm saying? That you can just hear certain things and it'll mess with you. Don't it? There's certain songs that I hear, it makes me want to go fishing. If those things can make me want to do that, then what can an encounter with the God of the universe do to make me want to change the world that he created me to change? You can go ahead and clap. It's okay. Don't worry about Fluffy Head. She's not even watching you. Promise you this, I'm not Brother Fluffyhead. Come on, Aaron, wherever you're at, you here? All right, you ready? I'm going to hit you hard right here, and it's going to hurt. It's going to help you. If y'all wasn't in Sunday school today, Darren said the pastor has more right to be a jerk to you than anybody else. So he opened up the gate. Some of us can go less time without our spouse and miss them more than going more time without Jesus and we'll miss him less. Tracy Dill Nursery. You just have to take my word for it. I'm the preacher. If I don't see our kids at our house for a while, kids. I say, hey, have you heard from Taylor and him? Because FaceTime just don't do it. Can I get a witness? And you just got to be in their presence. Talking about him just don't do it. You got to get in his presence. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to purpose in our heart. This week, you're going to get some alone time with Jesus. This is your goal. How much? You decide. But let me tell you what, I mean, how much you want to be around him? He's the one that died for you, was buried for you, rose again for you, saved you. You make all kinds of mistakes and he still forgives you. He still loves you with an everlasting love. Gone away to prepare a place for you. He's coming back to receive you unto himself. He died for you. I mean, everything. He done absolutely everything for you that's worth anything. So how much time you want to spend with him? Because let me tell you this. He died to spend time with you. He wants you to spend time with him. So while the church down the street right now is looking at their watches and saying, okay, Pastor, 30 minutes is up.
I want to take just a few minutes to give you a moment to get in his presence. Man, if you like music, turn you on some music. Get you a good Christian song on, something that edifies, something that builds up. And just worship him by yourself. You can have your very own church service. You can have your very own revival. You don't need me to yell at you. Yell at yourself. Some people right now are closing their eyes. Right now they're closing their eyes. They're saying, you know what? I'm going to start right now. You need to talk to him for a minute. Talk to him. You need to worship him and thank him. If you made a deal with him and said, God, if you do this, I'll worship you, would you take a second to honor your deal? If you need prayer, would you step out? Would you come forward and allow us to pray with you? You need lifted up. You need refocused. You need recentered. Maybe you're operating about 30 degrees off center point and you'd like to be back on center point. Would you walk up here and let us pray with you to realign you? Say, God, this is it. I want to be in your presence.